He had decided to wait until 3 in the morning to be sure. His pompous accomplice had complained and argued that 1 a.m. would be more than sufficient. But he overruled Raskin on all operational matters. He was the professional, after all, and had carried out similar assignments on numerous occasions. The patient predator was always rewarded with the better kill. From the passenger seat, Raskin handed him the syringe and the tube containing the Q-tip without saying a word, like he was some hunting dog being taken off the leash and told to run. If he hadn't required the American's knowledge and connections to complete this final job, he would have ended Raskin long ago. The haughty American certainly deserved it, probably more so than anyone else he had ever killed. But such an act of indulgent, emotional violence would have been rash and stupid, and Kruger had learned to play the long game from years of hard lessons and painful mistakes. He stepped from the van and headed toward the small two-story home. It was blue-green, with projecting eaves and a low-pitched gable roof covered in terracotta tiles. He had studied the layout of the house and the target's routines and knew that Fred Little would be waiting in an upstairs bedroom or asleep in his lazy boy in front of the television. The Americans were so obsessed with their TVs. He and Zarina didn't even own a television. If he wanted to catch a soccer game, they would travel down to the local sports bar or attend in person. He had better things to do with his time than watch others live their lives. The preparations were all in place. Fred Little's house key had been stolen from his pocket, imprinted, and returned. The security system code had been acquired by watching through a window using a telescopic lens as Fred entered it. Kruger simply walked into the house as if he were the owner returning from a hard day's work. As he ascended the stairs, he hugged the wall with his size 22 boots, stepping up 1 foot at a time, knowing that creaks and groans were seldom found on a stair's innermost edge. His right hand held a black Beretta M9A1 pistol, with a sound suppressor threaded over its barrel, although he had no intention of using the weapon. It was merely a precautionary measure. When he reached the top of the stairs, he saw a dark face and the glow of eyes. He raised the gun as a reflex before he realized it was only a mirror.